Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is our text. You may be seated. Once again, this past week, our country celebrated liberty overcoming tyranny. And along Main Street, as has been the custom for many years, something like 100,000 people gathered, and millions more do the same in cities all over this country that we share. And these large crowds, they reflect every conceivable walk of life that our pluralistic culture has to offer. We sit side by side, and in that moment, in that event, we set aside a great many of our differences. At the passing of our national flag, the procession of soldiers or veterans, or those really fascinating still life floats that depict military scenes, we all stand up. Gentlemen remove their hats and we applaud, and in doing so, of course, we recognize that freedom isn't free. It requires great sacrifice, and over the course of our country's relatively short history, the cost to uphold that freedom is beyond measure. There is no sign that that cost will subside. In fact, in a world broken by sin, the cost to uphold civic freedom will never be paid in full. So while it will never be simply free, this freedom will also never be just a license to do whatever one wants. For us to share this great blessing, we must do so in a way that is ordered. For as we have seen time and time again, freedom without order is anarchy. We are joined this morning by two dear friends of our congregation from New Orleans. Welcome back. It is a great reminder that some years ago, there was the devastating Hurricane Katrina that decimated much of their city at a time when civil order completely broke down. Looting, rioting, crimes of all description took place, and there was indeed anarchy until civil order could restore the rule of law. Immediately after the Revolutionary War, the founders of this fledgling country recognized the need to define this newly won freedom. So the Articles of Confederation and later the Constitution established a foundation of ordered freedom. How easy that would be to maintain if we could universally and persistently follow the simply stated command of our Lord to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's all it would take. Imagine if we lived in a culture where we could perfectly fulfill that command. We would no longer live in civil society. We would instead live in the kingdom of God. And knowing that we do not yet requires more structure to preserve this synthesis of freedom and order. How those fit together will be a perpetual debate, just as there will be a perpetual call to stand ready to actively defend liberty over tyranny. And attending to those civil and military realities in our culture will always be a challenge on this side of eternity. For even as we celebrate the victories of military conflicts of days gone by, we remain at war. Even as we recognize the ultimate sacrifice made by so many, still others put on the uniform of service anew. And even as we sit shoulder to shoulder along parade route sidewalks, we remain a country in many ways bitterly divided. Some, for example, celebrate the Supreme Court decisions regarding the definition and practice of marriage as a step toward greater freedom. Others lament those decisions as another sign of growing disorder in our culture, and so debate continues. Among the greatest blessings of our country, one that is being strained today, to be sure, but remains largely intact, is our opportunity to find the greatest measure of freedom and order in our faith in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Word of God. At one point in his ministry, Jesus comes to his hometown, he goes into the synagogue, he takes the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads from what we read just this morning, a few moments ago, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, good news for the poor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then our Lord makes this incredibly bold proclamation. He rolls up the scroll and he says to the crowd that this scripture is being fulfilled for them in their hearing that very day. Why? Because the Son of God is in their midst. The incarnate Word of God is before them. And here Jesus describes freedom from the burdens that manifest themselves in a broken world where we are separated from God. All those hardships, the heartaches, the turmoil that leads to nothing but eternal death, all of these, Jesus declares, are overcome in him. In John's gospel, we hear Jesus equate the truth of the Word of God with freedom. When he says, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus speaks here not of some military conquest over tyranny, or of man's penchant for oppression against one another. Jesus makes clear that the ultimate tyranny, the ultimate slavery, is in the end our bondage to sin. And the only means to real freedom from that is through the Son. And as we know so very well, such freedom before God wasn't free either, surely not for Christ. Our Lord sacrificed himself, paid that excruciatingly painful price of a death on a cross so that we today might stand free before God. And it wasn't only the physical torment that he endured. We know that he was carrying all of the sin of all of the world, the sins that have brought about the war, the heartache, the turmoil, the brokenness, the division, all of that heaped upon him and carried to the cross. As a result, in Christ has come the truest measure of freedom that we can know, a life freed from the eternal consequence of our own sin. And the price of that freedom has been paid in full once for all. St. Paul clarifies what such freedom means for our daily lives from our epistle reading this morning. He says, "For you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And then he reiterates Jesus' own words when he says, "For the law is fulfilled in that one word, to love your neighbor as yourself." And so if my eternal freedom is ultimately found in Jesus Christ, then surely my earthly life ought to also be ordered around his word and will. And so together we always go back to the Word of God to put order in our personal lives and the life that we share together as a community of faith, trusting that the design of God is ultimately superior to anything we would come up with on our own apart from Him. That insistence on following God's word above all else is not meant to be some sort of smug or arrogant or dismissive perspective toward others' truly sincere efforts to order our society and promote freedom. Rather, it is our humble confession that God is simply all the wiser, that His design in creation, His ordering of our lives, is both our highest authority and for our greatest good. And so, as our civil law will not uniformly defend the life of a child as yet unborn, we, as a community, will. As our civil law will no longer define marriage at its core as a lifelong union between a man and a woman, we will. And in these matters, and in every other, in which we are called to conform our personal will and desire to the will of our perfect God, we acknowledge Him. We acknowledge that the God who has delivered us from death by the gift of grace is the same God who calls us to holiness by the truth of His word. Freedom and order are authored by the hand of our Creator. And that great truth is worth celebrating every day. It's what gathers us together here week after week. And it is worth contending for in our civic culture, the freedom to pursue this call to holiness. The prophet Isaiah, the apostle Paul, they were called to proclaim God's word to an often stubborn and rebellious people. And we should make note that it was only their job to proclaim the word. It was a hearer's responsibility to respond to it. And so, like the prophets, the apostles, the proclaimers who have come before us, we too are not responsible whether the word of God is accepted or rejected. We leave that to the work of the Holy Spirit. But we are responsible to proclaim it faithfully and to seek to live it honestly. So let us once again truly celebrate the freedom and order in the country that we share with all of our neighbors, but even more so, to rejoice in the eternal freedom and the holy order given to us by God, whose word endures forever and whose grace is truly beyond measure. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured of your freedom in Christ, now and always. Amen.